Well, good afternoon, everybody. Today we are going to be continuing our study on the attributes of God, and we're going to be continuing part two on the omnipresence of God. And just by way of reminder, what we talked about in the last video is that God is omnipresent. That is, he is omni, being all and present. And the big thing to remember there is that he is fully present at all places, at all times. And we also talked a little bit that this is not theism or pantheism, right? But we talked about the fact that God is both transcendent and he is immanent at the same time. And then we kind of closed with the illustration with A.W. Tozer talking about the bucket, right? God fills heaven and earth just like the ocean fills a bucket, which has been submerged a mile down. The bucket is full of the ocean, but the ocean surrounds the bucket in all directions. So when God says he fills heaven and earth, he does, but heaven and earth are submerged in God and space too. So that's the review, or rather quick review, of some of the things we learned from last week. And so this week, we are continuing on that study. And one of the big questions I want to get out is, if God is always near, how can he be far from us, right? Because God is always close to us, but a lot of people feel like God is very distant from them, right? They feel like he could be anywhere at any time. It's just how they feel. So how does that happen? And so you can think about this as a good example, right? You can think about this as friends and enemies. So with your friends, you would say that they are really close to you. That is, in character or, you know, in relation. But your enemies would be distant from you. And so sometimes people can feel as if God is distant from them. And so it's the same thing with God. There is distance between you and God. And we kind of talked about this in one of the studies where we are moral situations, right? So there is a dissimilarity in nature that is there. So we can look at this in Ephesians 4, 17 through 20. And I'll read that now. It says, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Due to their hardness of heart, they have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ." So first of all, let's take a look at how he talks about those who do not have Christ, right? They are darkened in their understanding. They are alienated from God. They're sensual, greedy, practicing all kinds of impurity, right? And then he closes with, "not the way you learned Christ." See, Christ is holy, loving, faithful, just, and so on. And we've been learning a lot about this through the attribute study. So in summation, right, God's ways are not man's ways. His ways are different from our own. There is this dissimilarity between us and God that creates this distance. So, and you can imagine this in another way, right? There are two people who are sitting next to each other. One is very good and one is very evil. And you think about that scenario, maybe they're in a car or something. What would they talk about? Like, you know, they have nothing in common with each other. There would just be this silence because of this distance in character. Their morals don't match up, and therefore, again, it creates this distance. And that's how it is with God. We are morally incompatible with him. In Ephesians 2:3, it actually calls us children of wrath. So we see there's this great divide between us. And how can this be reconciled, right? That's the thing. That's the big question that we have to ask when we know about this divide. How can we become close morally? So there are two ways when you think about this. People can be reconciled with each other. Either both sides can compromise or one can turn from their ways. Right? So you think about any agreement you have here, whether, you know, there's a big argument between two friends. Either one friend can say, hey, look, I was wrong, and he goes to reconcile with the other friend, or they can both agree and say, hey, look, we both made some mistakes, we both said some stupid things, we were both wrong. But here's the thing. We don't want a God who compromises, right? A.W. Tozer says it like this. He says, God can't say, you're half dead, so I will move over and be half dead, while we say to him, well, we will move over from being dead to half dead. So we can't have a God who does that, right? God can't budge, or else he would have to cease to be God, because God is always holy, he is always loving, he is always just, and he is always righteous. So he can't move from being fully alive to half dead. But Tozer continues to go on and say, I'd rather go to hell than go to a heaven presided over by a God who would compromise with sin. Now, those are some serious words from a very wise man. We don't want to go, we don't want God to skip over sin. See, we would rather have something be done about it. So that's where Jesus comes in, right? So he came down to change our moral situation. 1 Peter 1:3 says it like this. He made us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. See, we needed our moral situation changed. We didn't want a God who would change. He came down, he died for us, and rose again so that we might become his righteousness. So God doesn't compromise with sin, and we don't want him to. Rather, he changes us so that we may be free from the sin. So, that's one of the ways that we can, that's how we feel this distance between us and God, even though we know that God is omnipresent, that he is always here fully. And when you think about the omnipresence, here's another thing that we have to point out. The omnipresence of God can be both a good and bad thing from a human perspective, right? And we'll start with the bad, because the bad is going to be that God is always here, that you can't escape from God on earth. And we have examples of this in the Bible, right? Jonah is always one of the classics. We have got Jonah, who is trying to run, as it says, from the presence of the Lord. And if you know the story of Jonah, you know that he was unsuccessful in that. But the idea is there that we can never run from God, and he knew that as he was running. You can't even escape God in hell. This is one of the hard things that we must wrestle with. In Revelation 14:10, it says, he will also drink the wine of God's wrath, poured full strength into the cup of his anger. And he will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the Lamb. See, we often say we don't want to go to hell and be away from God. But Stephen Lawson was quick to point out that those in hell only wish they were from the Lord, away from the Lord. They only wish they were left alone. And they only wish they could escape the wrath of the Lamb. End quote. Now that's hard to wrestle with, but it's one that we must be confront and be honest with. But we also must look at this from 2 Thessalonians 1:9, which says they will suffer punishment, eternal destruction, away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. So in this verse, it seems to kind of contradict what was read beforehand in Revelation. But this means here, more so away from the eye of the Lord. The idea is that God will turn his face away and not extend his grace or even his common grace. Instead, they will be under his wrath. So that's the first thing, right? So the omnipresence can be bad from a human perspective. But the other side of this is that it can be good from a human perspective. It is good that God is always there. And we're going to turn to Psalm 16:8 for this. Psalm 16:8. Which says, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. So God is always at our right hand, and he will never let us be shaken. And that's a very encouraging thing for us to hear. And we'll have many hard times in this world. We're going through one right now with this COVID-19, having to be cooped up inside our houses, and that can cause a lot of mental stress. But the big thing to remember here is that God is always with you. He's always at your right hand. And therefore, you won't be shaken. You can lean on him in those times. Something we've discussed a lot in our devotionals, our midweek devotionals. So, he will always be there to help us through, right? Because he's omnipresent, always there. So therefore, we can be glad. In the Psalm 9 through 10, it continues on with the thought. It says, therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. We have a God who is bigger than anything we may face, and that God is always with us. He is always there. The God of comfort, right? In Psalms 23:4, it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The words, think about these words, the words, you are with me. Those are really comforting words in this psalm, because we realize the truth behind them, that God really is always there with us. And it is based in that truth that we find comfort. And when you think about that, you can really never say that about anyone else. Only God can truly always be there for you. So, all of our days we have the Almighty God comforting us. In Hebrews 13:5 it says, I will never leave you or forsake you. So, we have both the good and the bad side of the omnipresence of God. For those who are saved, it is going to be a good thing, right? That God is always there with us, helping us, guiding us through this life. And so with that, I want to close with three things that we can really take away from the omnipresence of God. And I didn't come up with these on my own. I found these on a website. The Gospel Coalition was talking about this. And I wanted to point them out because I think they're really good points for us to have. And the first one is, enjoy the access to God, right? And so when we think about this, there are a lot of false religions out there, and a lot of those religions need ways to talk to God. They have buildings, certain places, special items, or maybe even certain people, all these things to help them talk to God. And the beauty of Christianity, or our God, is that God is always here, and we can always commune with him and talk with him through prayer. That's all we have to do. We have to pray and know that God is listening, because he is always here. So that's the first thing, is we need to enjoy the access to God. The second thing is, embrace your limits. See, we aren't omnipresent, and we shouldn't try to be. And initially that sounds weird, but then when you think about it, we have a bunch of social media, right? And we're always on social media, and we're pretty much always trying to be everything to everyone at all times. That is, we're trying to be omnipresent. I like this quote. It says, Facebook was created so that Christians will remember that they have time to read their Bibles. So we need to embrace our limits and lean on the one who truly is omnipresent. But I think the problem is, deep down, we really love it, right? We try our best to be everything for everyone. And the other side of that, right, is that no one can be everything for you. Only God can. So you shouldn't lean on other people to be that omnipresent, omniscient, loving Father. Rather, go to the one who is omnipresent, omniscient, and all-powerful. So, that's the second thing, right? We enjoy our access to God. We embrace our limits. And the last thing is we feel our need. See, God knows everything about you. Your needs, who you do and do not like, the things you do and do not like, the things that you will and will not do, and so on and so forth. But the biggest thing is, most of all, He knows all of your sin. And we talked about this, right? But we needed a God to change our moral situation. And that's why He had to come down and take away our sins through Jesus Christ. But we need to remember that need that we have. Always recall what it is that Jesus did and is doing for you today. Embrace your need for a Savior and your need to have Him guide you through this life. And with that, we're going to close in a word of prayer. Father God, we just thank You that for all the things You have taught us about the omnipresence of God through the truth that is Your word. And we just thank You that we always have access to You through prayer, that You are always there with us, guiding us and helping us through this life. And I pray that as we go through this world, we do not try to be everything for everyone. Rather, we embrace our limits and lean on You to be the strength of our life. And I just pray that we would feel that need, that those believers and unbelievers would always lean on You, call to You, and help You to help us through this life. And we just thank You that You truly are fully always here for us, that You truly are omnipresent. In Jesus' name, amen.